Welcome to the No Fungi, No Future podcast. In these episodes, we interview experts in the field to gain a deeper understanding of the magical and mysterious networks of mycelia that are all around us, to learn how they impact our lives and the planet. In this episode, we have the first part of our interview with Scott May. Scott is the VP of Innovation at Givaudan and founder and head of Mista. In this episode, we talk about Scott's career journey in food science and the founding of Mista. We also talk about his vision for the future of food as a decentralized system and why this is critical in an age of climate change and other emergencies. All right. Thank you so much, Scott, for agreeing to do this interview. Really looking forward to it. Tell us a little bit about your career journey and how did you get into the field of nutrition science and develop this particular area of interest?
Yeah. So my background is in food science. So I got a degree in food science almost 4 decades ago. And I've just been fascinated by the food system in general. And specifically, I am all about disruption and change and innovation. And breaking what's there to create something even better. So that's kind of my passion, and that's how I got to be where I am today.
Okay. And what are some of the highlights along the way? Like, what do you remember sort of from your studies and as you got into Givaudan? Like, how did that all happen?
Yeah, well, it was very interesting, mostly serendipity, that I started out in a very small joint venture that was owned partially by the parent company. And at that time, the parent company was called Quest International. Mm-hmm. Quest International was also a global flavor company, which then Givaudan acquired about 15 years ago. And so, you know, my journey was quite varied from product development to technical sales to operations. I built a new plant and got it up and running. And then from that, I moved into sort of the corporate headquarters outside of the joint venture and more into the core business. And at that point, I became the global head of beverages. So really trying to figure out how to create new solutions and ingredients in the beverage space. Mm-hmm. And then primarily focused in the area of citrus. So mm-hmm. how do we create new citrus ingredients and solutions that can go primarily into beverage applications? Mm-hmm. From that point, I had the opportunity to move to Mexico to run our division there in Mexico for both flavors and fragrances. So that was pretty exciting to move into an area that I hadn't really been connected with, which was on the fragrance and personal care side, mm-hmm. Which was quite exciting. And then essentially the acquisition took place where Givaudan acquired Quest International. And then mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to move to the corporate side within Givaudan. And uh-huh. that's what really led me to down the path to my role at that point, which was global head of innovation and uh-huh. working with the organization to try to figure out how we move this 250-year-old Swiss entity into new possibilities in the future of food. And from that emerged this opportunity to create a global platform called mm-hmm. Mista. Mm-hmm. Mista means tasty morsel in Sanskrit. So the mm-hmm. thinking there is that new technologies are great, but unless they taste amazing, mm-hmm. consumers simply aren't going to adopt them. And that's, you know, one of the challenges we see today in the current plant-based, call it the solutions, is, you know, there's some challenges in both taste and nutrition. And so there's mm-hmm. plenty of opportunities of which Sampera is doing a great job to address that with mm-hmm. their technology using mycelium. And so that's one of the areas that we're really excited about.
Awesome. So, I was wondering if we could talk a little bit more about your vision of the future of food. I looked at your article on, the case for creating an end-to-end regenerative decentralized food system today. Very, very thought-provoking. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that article and the challenges you see and what the opportunities are for food.
I think everyone understands the challenges that we have, both in from a planetary perspective. So, the fact that our food system contributes significantly to, the carbon challenges, to soil reduction, to chopping down important forests around the world. And then also, not only planetary challenges, but also human nutrition challenges. So the overnutrition in some cases and under nutrition in others. So, from that perspective, there is a lot of work that needs to be done. And so this idea of shipping ingredients or foods all over the world from one location just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think that everyone saw that in vivid color, unfortunately, when COVID hit, and then we also had the war in Ukraine. Suddenly, ingredients and materials were very hard to procure. Supply chains were broken, and it really showed that globalization, if you will, of the food system has its drawbacks. There's some positives, but there's also a lot of drawbacks. And so if you think, okay, if we could somehow imagine a food system that was much more localized, first of all, you would eliminate any challenges from shipping products from one point to the other at great distances. Secondly, you could create jobs in local areas that I and local high-paying jobs in areas like food production, fermentation, and things like that. And third is the ability to upcycle local food waste. So when you take all of that and you sort of pack it all together, then you could think of opportunities in this whole space of a decentralized food system. And what's so exciting to me is, I would say 10 years ago, this concept didn't even make sense because the thought of using mycelium or something, a biomass, could be also from bacteria, other sources, but let's call it the production of biomass in a way to produce protein, and fibers and even carbohydrates, really opened up the possibility to think about a decentralized food system. So I live in a town called Bend, Oregon. Bend, Oregon has a population of about 100,000, but it's very isolated. There is no superhighway to connect here. It's a two-lane road coming from Portland or two-lane road coming from California. Most of the food is trucked in. And so it really got me thinking, why couldn't we figure out a way to supply the important proteins and other nutrients to a community like Bend, Oregon, that could be set up and reliant on, or more or less self-sufficient and reliant on its own resources and using technologies like biomass production can get you to that point. Now, of course, there's lots of challenges that need to be solved. How do you share that technology in a way that makes sense? So how do you share the technology to grow this mycelium in a place like Bend, Oregon, but also in, many other towns that size? But when you think about the microbrewery industry, they figured it out, right? There's microbreweries all over. There's over 2,000 microbreweries in the US alone. There's 22 of them in Bend, Oregon, the size of 100,000. So You know, why couldn't you think of small manufacturing facilities that could produce macronutrients like protein in a way that microbreweries do?
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode featuring our conversation with Scott May. Be sure to look out for our next episode coming out soon, where we will continue this conversation. Until then, be sure to get some healthy mushrooms into your diet. Also, please take a moment to like and subscribe to our channel and to drop us any comments. Your feedback is most welcome. Thanks for listening.